This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Namai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0. Afternoon all. Well, the weather forecast, fine, light southerlies, short and sweet. Tomorrow afternoon, southeasterlies with fine weather. Sunset tonight at 5:10 p.m, sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:34. It is 17 degrees in the city at the moment. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column, comment, history, moments, events and song of June 28th. New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz. We look back at June 28, 1961, Gary Schofield. And on world politics, shipping moments with Dwayne Porter, Trevor's talk between now and 2 o'clock this afternoon. Sunday afternoon, welcome to it. And I hope we have plenty more this afternoon. Well, the walls are closing in on Donald Trump at the moment. Marco Rubio could be stripped of his law license. 101 judges have signed a petition for him to be removed. Because is he either still Trump's personal lawyer or working for the US of A? We've got the so-called slit down the Lincoln pool. Donald Trump had people arrested, and one of them was a former Olympian canoeist. What's going on there? And the damage being done to world politics, and the truce has broken, and with Iran and Israel throwing missiles at each other. But in the future, who is going to be American president? J.D. Vance? Pete Hegseth? We can't wait to watch what's going to happen between now and November. If the Democrats win the majority in the House, will Trump be impeached? Remember in 1974, Nixon said, "I am not a crook." Well, he was found guilty of many crimes, impeached and forced out of office. Gerald Ford came in. Are we going to see another impeachment like Richard Milhouse Nixon later this year, along with his people he associates with in his cabinet? Full of people who don't know what they're doing, especially Pete Hegseth when it comes to the Pentagon. We have to all watch out as the trouble in the United States continues. Donald Trump is no hero. He's isolated. He is ill. He's 80. Too old to be in New Zealand. Sorry, too old to be. I don't want a New Zealand president. Too old to be US president, of course. So look out as the Trump saga continues up to November. He may be removed even before November. Well, how's your day going? It is 20 minutes to 1 o'clock as we look at today's history. 179, 186 to go. This day in 1973, Fraser Coleman from the New Zealand government, cabinet minister, boards HMNZS Otago bound for the French nuclear testing site at Mururoa as a protest. You were born. Well, the ice cooler came with your picture. State your hair from Illinois. Now I know Illinois is an oyster, but I'm an oyster, will only bring you joy. Miss September, I know I'm gonna meet you someday. Miss September, Miss September. Head from Illinois. Now I know Illinois is an oyster, but I'm an oyster, will only bring you joy. Miss September. was this day in royal history. 1496, Henry VIII born, dying 1547. And in 1920, New Zealand's history, the Alexander Turnbull Library opens. This day in 1932 that actor Pat Morita, Arnold in Happy Days and Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid. He was born, he died in 2005.
By gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Looking so right, it can't be wrong. Rockin' and rollin' all we want.
It was this day in music, 2016, Elvis Presley's guitarist Scotty Moore dies.
The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock, everybody let it rock, everybody.
It was this day in 1997, Evander Holyfield loses a portion of his ear after being bitten by Mike Tyson. Stay in 1969, Gay Liberation born with the Stonewall Riots in New York City. And one of the big hits of that particular year came from Blood, Sweat and Tears.
I lost that love before, got mad and closed the door. But you said, child, just once more. I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came in. Cause you came and you took control. You touched my very soul. You always showed me that loving you is where it's at. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my
Georgia girl. Every day of my life I wanna find you. You made me so very happy.
Blood, Sweat and Tears at 3FM 89.0 Cosmopolitan News and Views. Yeah, David Clayton Thomas, who happens to be still alive this day. New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, History and Song, June 28, 1961. Local radio station 1XH, The Breakfast Show was hosted by Des Britton. Yes, he was, of course, the fast-talking DJ, later chef and Church of England minister in Wellington, and was only at 1XH for a short time. Neville Chamberlain was there at the same time. They both moved to 2ZB in Wellington. 9 to noon, it was community notices and educational serials. Noon to 4pm, youth targeted birthdays and announcements and anniversaries. 1:30 afternoon variety, followed at 2pm by the Woman's Hour. 3:30 BBC serials, those imported from Australia. We had children's connections with schools and all that. 4 o'clock, children's requests plus the Archers from the BBC in local sport between 7 and 10. It's in the bag, Selwyn Toogood. And, of course, Selwyn Toogood hosted the Lever Hit Parade and the Lifebuoy Hit Parade back in the early days. After 10pm, local requests, music chosen by Waikato listeners. At midnight, after God Save the Queen, there was silence. Yes, the stations, by law, had to go off air. And number one this day in New Zealand, this is from the New Zealand Hit Parade, June 28, 1961. The late Roy Orbison.
Just run and escape. Each place we go, so afraid that he might show. Yeah, run and scare. What would I do if he came back and wanted you? Just run and scare.
Number one New Zealand this day in 1961, the late Roy Orbison, Running Scared. We've been remembering the life and times of old 1XH here in Hamilton, and of course with DJs Des Britton and Neville Chamberlain, and there were lots more went through that station over the years. In the next coming months, we'll be looking back at 1ZH and 1XH and who was in town at the time. Good afternoon, Stephen King.
Oh, good afternoon.
So, you're back again with more information, pending your standing down a bit, but you'll be there in the background. How do you really feel about giving up some time? You want some family time?
Well, it's more about the great unknown, because, yep. You know, my family members have got their own lives as well, yep. So it's the unknown, really.
Yeah. But the problem is still going on and wandering around Garden Place and other parts of Hamilton.
Guess yes, what? Let's talk about that, because I want to talk about that.
Yeah, I just smell all the drugs going on, and it's in the air this time of the year.
Well, it's like this, and it's kind of what moved me to get myself in here today.
Yep.
It's a very important understanding, and it's complicated. So it requires an open mind and an understanding. So homelessness,
yes.
people who've got nowhere to call home. It's distressing, and it concerns me that this country's arrived at that place. Now the important part to that for me is. It's so hard to say. Just take it for the point of the discussion.
Yes.
90% of them that are homeless or living in the street are coping with their reality, and I have this information to hand. It's not my view. It's well understood. They are alcohol and drug dependent abusers.
Yes.
They have an illness. Now, before we go down the track that they choose to be drug addicted, yes, in the early stages they make that choice, as I did many years ago. But then they find that they have what's called a dependency or an addiction. Now, even when they want to stop, they can see the devastation it's causing to their families and their loved ones, and they're in trouble with the police. They've got no food, no shelter, nowhere to live. They are coping with their reality by using substances, and they've got themselves addicted.
Yep.
Now, it's not just that, and just, oh, they need to stop, and they should stop, and society cannot direct this change. We can make services available, and we're very, very short of those services, by the way. The outpatient specialty services are run off their feet, and the residentials, well, they're almost non-existent. Because people need, when they're seeking recovery, they need to take time out away from the bottle store and away from the drug dealer.
Yep.
Because that's the nature of addiction. It's impulsive. It's right there. Now, let's not just leave it there. It's an important point I'd like to make. It's not just the lower socioeconomic group, as Willie Jackson puts them, and the term's still acceptable. It's not just poor people. The middle classes of this country have taken to using cocaine as well. We've got twice the supply of meth and cocaine this year than we had last year, twice the amount of just last year, and it's half the price. We have got a significant problem. This country needs to talk about this problem.
We try to talk about it, but nothing happens yet.
No, see, we come back to that. You're bad, or you learnt that from your family, or summary. No, there are cases where that's the case, but there's also cases where there was no addiction in the family historically. They have an illness. Now, some guys, the drug dealing gang guys, they need to be locked up. I'm with the government's policy on justice, but not exclusively, because nobody wants their kids locked up. There is a group of people in our society, if gone about the right way, facilitated process of assessment and giving them the information they need, we can support them to be rehabilitatable. But you won't rehabilitate them by locking them up.
Yep. How do you get through? I know Tom Ducey's there, but there's also the Minister of Health, and I think he is.
You mean Matt Ducey?
Yeah, sorry, Matt Ducey. Sorry, but there is a young man called Simeon Brown who is the Minister of Health. Has he got any? I don't know. I think
I think that the government has it's a change of subject.
Yep.
Of course. I think the government of today. I think New Zealanders are still sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
I think it's a very difficult situation politically with MMP and a mixture of different parties with different ideas. It's hard to keep your P's and Q's lined up so that you don't offend potential voters because it's going to be close.
Yeah. I just see this in Parliament. They're all yelling and screaming at each other.
That's the nature of politics today, unfortunately.
Winston Peters is on this. He's against the Indian Free Trade Agreement, and he goes to these meetings and he gets everybody roused up. There should be an inter-party party looking at these problems, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, it's a classic example of what you speak. Is that his view? Is it? And yes, well, then you get the other side of the argument. I'll bring more people from Asia into New Zealand because we're short of workforces. Yep. So you can't win.
Yep. Yeah, this, of course, this has happened in Britain, of course, with the immigration problem, and Keir Starmer's just gone, and they're looking for a new prime minister at the moment. So, yep.
Anyway, back to my favourite subject. I just think we need to, the government, no matter whether it's a national-led government or a Labour-led government, the government needs to see addiction more than just a rugby, racing and beer, and they just need to behave themselves. We have to have that conversation. We need to develop services so for those that are assessed as ready for change and capable of change to do that rather than just throw them all in one basket. Because, you see, we're not talking about that in the homelessness argument because it's too close to the heart. Nobody wants to talk about excessive alcohol and drug use. And, by the way, there's a huge tax, of course, with it. So we got that as a complicating factor as well.
It's 1 minute to one, coming up 1 o'clock. The problem is, too, that we have got these night shelters around the city. There's one just down the road where I used to live, Hill Street Lodge. But the problem is, when people go in there, they have to obey the rules. One of the rules is no alcohol. And some people can't handle that, living as they do.
Well, I run a service currently, or I'm the founder of the Manning Street Support House. We've got three large houses and 30 certified beds. There's no drink or drugs there. You see, that's the thing. These people that you speak of, they're coping with their reality by escapism.
Yep.
And that's what they get from drugs and alcohol, by the way. They get to escape the reality of their situation that they're in a night shelter in a room with whole lots of all people from all areas of society, actually. You know, see, that notion about everybody that's in those housings is a badass. Well, that's not true. They're just people who have this illness. And so we need more services that are directed towards. People only change when they choose to change. We can't make them, but we can provide better services to facilitate their process of making some healthier choices. And I tell you what, I'm getting them more and more into their 30s and heading towards 40s that are starting to realise that this is a road to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to get worse for them if they continue with their substance abuse.
Yep. It is a problem because I still go past Hill Street Lodge every once in a while. And every once in a while they come out and they have a fight and the police are called and
we don't have the resources.
There's
the fights and there's the people, I see it every week, so I presume everything. You come back from the weekend and there's cars that have been smashed into trees on roundabouts. There's this whole nother thing that's going on. Because when I say it's twice the amount of meth, and it's a particularly nasty drug, I think that we've forgotten that it used to be all just amphetamine. It's a speed. It heightens their acceleration in their mind, but it also frazzles the brain cells.
I've heard from a few people that the police do not want to deal with people with mental health issues.
Like, what can they do? The ED department of the hospital are well known to me, and I'm well known to them.
Yeah.
And what do the police do? Because locking them up's not going to do. So some of them need to be. I'll use the word loosely, restrained for the protection to themselves and to the protection of others. I mean, they're actually, I'm aware of several cases on the go just in the last fortnight where they've had to be put into the hospital for their own safety.
Yeah.
They're going to kill themselves. And then you can start to talk about GBH and GBI, all these derivative drugs. If you have too much of it, you're not quite, it's not clear what it is, you can die.
Yeah. No, hey, look, I saw it yesterday with a woman yelling and screaming. She was talking to herself at the transport centre yesterday as I came into town. So, yeah.
Yes. No, well, that's another big discussion about where does mental health end and addiction start, and where does addiction end and mental health? Because the two things are often a combination of, but then and again there's people who are mentally ill whether they take drugs or not, and there's people who are addictive who are mentally ill, so it works both ways. What I know is when you take the drug use away, people in general terms get better.
Yeah. And other people, like some of the streeties, and one streetie I know, he doesn't want to live in a accommodation. He wants to live on the street.
Yeah, there are those people. They don't want to be reporting to a landlord because they're going to get the money for those drugs from somewhere. Oh, did I forget to say? You see, they have to pay for it one way or another. Mm-hmm. So the gang guys are quite shrewd. They've got people dealing in the stuff to support their own habits. They're making a lot of money, those gang guys.
Yeah.
That's why you're not seeing them things. They're gold leafing their bloody...
Oh, don't remind me.
Yeah.
And the pool in Washington.
Well, we don't have the police resources either. So we're going to have, we are following Canada. My academic mates tell me we are going to have more of this. There is no one way to solve it. And I made sure that the government's heard that loud and clear.
Once they sort out the problems with their current police commissioner, it's going to be an election issue, isn't it, again? So
what's going to be an election issue?
This thing with drugs.
I'd like to make the drug addiction, the drug availability, supply and demand of drugs, particularly the supply, because the demand, because we can't stop the supply.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that become an addiction. I think New Zealanders as a whole are not happy. They're certainly not happy about having their kids locked up when they've got a health issue. It's not the answer doesn't lie in the Justice Department for a percentage of them, and I think there's a lot of votes in that, actually.
Also, is there an issue too with some of the lawyers who defend these people on drugs charges? What are they saying to them?
Well, you'd have to talk to the Law Commission. Goes, good try, though, Bruce.
Yeah, I do know some.
Look, I don't know many judges. Well, I do know the old one, actually.
Yes,
I don't
so
know
do I.
many. I don't know many of them that think that locking people up is the solution.
Yeah.
It's for the protection of that individual themselves and the protection of the rest of the community.
Yeah.
And they know, because when they get out, guess what? They go back to the same place they came for, just like I did. When I get back from rehab, you go back to the same community. Well, guess what? The drugs are still there, and so is all your using mates. And what happens? People return to that environment again.
Yeah, I know judges like Cocorello tries his damnedest. He doesn't want to send these people to prison. He'd rather send some of these people to the Mason Clinic in Auckland, but there is a long waiting list.
Well, Mason Clinic is for very seriously mentally ill people.
Yeah.
It's where man's got to. I'd just like to see us do a bit more of the talk, because I'm just tired of this. Oh, they're homeless. Well, they're not going to get a home if they're spending their money on drugs and alcohol, are they?
No, and maybe because then they're not on a benefit, they haven't got a place to stay. They're not on a benefit, and they run.
Well, that was on the Q&A today as an example. So it's harder to get support from the government because they're looking to get the figures down. They're looking to solve the problem. Yeah. I don't think it's just black and white.
Yeah.
But my own clients that come through Manning Street, you got your work cut out for you when you start dealing with work and income and MSD and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera,
yeah.
because they They have had clearly, just as on AN, just on as on
as that Jack Tame, was it?
Jack Tame this morning, Q&A. They're trying to get their figures down. They're trying to get people into housing.
It's all talk, talk, talk.
It's both.
Yep.
I mean, you can't do something that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's so I'm a little bit I'm defensive of the poor old government.
That's why we're getting you. We're going to get you in here more regularly than ever to every fortnight and keep. We've got to walk the talk, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, which political party is that? Oh, then what about the new guys, Bruce? What do you reckon about that new group?
I don't support any. I'm just sick of politics. I have to watch it.
Well, I think you might be right. And I think generally speaking, from the conversation, I'm a parking meter politician. I walk the streets and talk to people. I'm not homeless myself, thank God. Appreciate that.
What would you do if you were homeless? If a situation comes up, Stephen King, what would happen to you if you became homeless?
If I became homeless, well, they're often the people that are in that position are over-intelligent.
Yep.
And I'm not short of a few brain cells myself. So I would say whatever I had to say that I thought was going to get me into a better position than I currently am.
Yep.
That's, of course, unless I'm defiant. As part of defiance to the rules of society, is one of as an issue that stops a lot of them.
Yep.
So I would play the game effectively to get myself into a better position.
Yep.
But then the answer you're looking for is they need to get into a facilitated counselling process so they have a bit more discussion within themselves, because, you know, counselling, therapy, the answer is within the patient, client, the person themselves. The job of the therapist is to facilitate that understanding and getting more to the reality of who we are.
Yep. We've also got to find the staff to for the therapists, et cetera, too. So,
well, we're working very hard. We've had an increase in the number of people training to level 4 support worker level, but it's not just getting qualified people, it's getting people who are good at the work, really.
And, of course, the AA is there too, and people who counsel for drug addiction, et cetera, those other organisations there.
Well, the self-help groups like NA, Narcotics Anonymous, they all come from different areas of society, different backgrounds, but they all have the same thing, substance dependency.
Yep. And, of course, Youthline is there too. I just saw a person I know go past the window, so I better let her in. And thank you, Stephen. We'll see you in next week or the week after.
Thanks.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
We've been talking about fast DJs and used to speak very, very loudly. Here's one of them.
Here's Alison Durbin taking a stroll downtown for Coca-Cola.
Come on and let's go walking down in the city that you're so handsome. So pretty, let's go window shop and maybe stop and have a Coke. Things go better with Coca-Cola when I'm walking with my gal.
We were going to have a fast speaking DJ. We may do that very, very shortly. Scotty Moore, Elvis's guitarist, died this day.
Purple gang, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody.
alone. The warden said, hey buddy, don't you be no square. You can't find a partner, use a wooden chair. Let her rock. Everybody, let her rock. Everybody in the whole cell block was dancing to the tail light rock. Shifter Henry said to Bugs, for heaven's sake, no one's looking at a chance to make a break. Bugs turned to Shifter and he said, nix, nix, I want to stick around, I want to get my.
Elvis's guitarist, he died in 2016, and that is the Jailhouse Rock. Scotty Moore was on that particular song. I have found my smart talking DJ man.
You're on the 2ZB Lunch Show. No cancellations to hand for the time at 16 after midday. David Lindsay on the panel today, and he's got a funny quirk. He always wears gumboots when he's on with me. He reckons that's the only way we can get through the stuff we broadcast on here. They say now.
This show is
groovy. Yeah, the late Keith Richardson. Talking about drug songs, here's The Birds. Birds of 3FM 89.0, and of course that is 8 miles high. It's 16 minutes past 1 o'clock, and Elvis Presley's guitarist Scotty Moore died in 2016. Well, in 1932 this day, actor Pat Morita, Arnold in Happy Days, and Mr. Menagerie in The Karate Kid was born. He died in 2005. Yeah, remember this series?
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes.
my psycho hum's ready to race to you. Gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Looking so right, it can't be wrong. Rockin' and rollin' all week long.
Yeah, happy days, Pat Morita. Arnold, he was the original Arnold. There's another guy that came in afterwards, and Mr. Menage with the Karate Kid. Well, talking about drug songs, this song was repeatedly and reportedly seen as a drug song. But it was also a children's song. This one's for the kids. It's Puff the Magic Dragon, Peter, Paul and Mary.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei.
Free FM 89.0, everybody knows that song. Peter, Paul and Mary, Puff the Magic Dragon. We'll be talking American politics very shortly. Talking about America, here's a song about the states. It's Perry Como. This is called Delaware.
Oh, what did Delaware, boy? What did Delaware? What did Delaware, boy? What did Delaware? She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. That's what she did wear. Why did California, why did California, why did California, was she all alone? She called to say how are ya, she called to say how are ya, she called to say how are ya, that's why she did come. Oh, what did Mississippi, boy, what did Mississippi? What did Mississippi boy through her pretty lips? She sipped the Minnesota, she sipped the Minnesota, she sipped the Minnesota, that's what she did sip. Oh, where has Oregon, boy, where has Oregon? If you want Alaska, Alaska, where she's gone? She went to pay her taxes, she went to pay her taxes, she went to pay her taxes, that's where she has gone. Oh, how did Wisconsin, boy, she stole a new brass key. Too bad that Arkansas, boy, and so did Tennessee. It made poor Florida die, boy, it made poor Florida die. You see, she died in misery, boy, she died in misery. Oh, what did Delaware, boy, what did Delaware? What did Delaware, boy?
Yeah, that's Perry Como taking a take on the United States of America. Good afternoon, Mel Driscoll.
Good afternoon. Tulsi Gabbard was the Director of National Intelligence in the Trump administration before resigning just over a month ago. She stepped down to care for her husband, she said. He's facing a diagnosis of bone cancer, according to at least one report. But there may be more to her resignation than that. She released contested documents regarding Dr. Anthony Fauci when the COVID-19 virus spread over the globe. It was he, Dr. Fauci, who conveyed to the president and thereon to the public the scientific predictions about the risk of the virus represented until kept in check. With the death toll rising, Mr. Trump advocated unconventional remedies such as taking doses of bleach to fortify personal protection against COVID-19. We invite Gary Schofield to explain where this might be going. What is it that underlies this whole standoff?
Well, an interesting topic, and I'm glad you brought it up, because Tulsi Gabbard, as you know, released, she's letting her resignation be a window to releasing files that we may not have got otherwise, including, as you pointed out, Dr. Fauci, whose files show that he was involved with gain-of-function research and also with the proposal and the strengthening of a proposal that it was all a zoological, it was a natural evolution. This is COVID, whereas in actual fact, the more and more evidence at the time was showing that it was a man-made and it was released from the lab. So that's one thing that Tulsi gave us. And also she gave us facts that the biolabs were real in Ukraine. She was about to release, quite startlingly, files from MK Ultra, which was a top secret CIA program, dates all the way back to the 1950s, and then at the last minute didn't release these. So these are still hidden, and conspiracy theories love these topics, specifically MK Ultra, because it's about brainwashing. It's about the CIA use of LSD to break people, to have them well, brainwashed into anything, including assassination. At least that's the theory, and that's what people have speculated upon. But there was going to be real, live evidence of that. And in fact, you've got all these things that have actually been part of contemporary filmmaking, contemporary discussions. We've got the Manchurian Candidate dating back to that movie. You've got theories that with Sirhan Sirhan, you've got theories with many of those that the tentacles of this program have reached into even today's world. So it's a very hot topic, but we're not going to get that information. And the other thing, of course, we've got is that there are no aliens, which is quite an extraordinary thing, because even with all the files that were released, not a bit of alien DNA or alien technology or even a little piece of metal from another planet. But what we have instead is we have the question, and it's called the Fermi paradox, by the way, if you wanted to look it up, that we are alone in the universe, and why would that be? Yep. And could it be, here is the current theory, simply because the rest of life on other planets is simply microbial.
Yep.
Just little slime and sludge, and we are the only ones that have got, because it was quite a miracle that we have eukaryotic cells inside each one of our cells. Is like a bacteria. Yeah. We call it a mitochondria, but it provides energy to the cell. And way back in our evolution, that was being eaten by another cell, primordial cell, and the two fused together to create eukaryotic life, which forms into animals. So that could be the legacy that we are alone in the universe, and what a great deal of responsibility to be the consciousness of the universe itself, and how important it is to keep us alive as a species.
Nothing like a couple of aliens to unite humankind, would you think?
Oh, I've got to find the Mork and Mindy theme. Hey, good.
Very good. I just thought you would enjoy that introduction to today's show on that.
Let's just listen to this. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene and Dr. Fauci.
Mr. Fauci, you were quoted on CBS Face the Nation saying it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science. Do you represent science, Mr. Fauci?
I am a scientist who uses the scientific method to gain information.
Yes, you said you represent science. Do you represent science, Mr. Fauci? Yes or no? Yes or no?
No, that's not a yes or no answer.
Yes, it's a yes or no.
I don't think it is.
Okay, well, we'll take that as a you don't know what you represent.
Oh, I...
Do you think that's appropriate? Do the American people deserve to be abused like that?
And it went on and on and on.
Well, there's nothing like congressional testimony to highlight and brighten your day. But I think on the background of that specific conversation, and we can have a broader conversation on that, the difference between science and the humanities is that science stands on its own merit.
Yep.
No one can have a dogma of science. No one can represent science or say with authority, we have an authority for science, because a non-scientist, as long as they can prove it to be a determined fact, is as powerful as the most powerful man like Fauci in the United States in that science at the time. So that is much more like a Galileo and the church argument. And I think that's where Marjorie Taylor Greene was trying to go, because Fauci had used his power to make determinations and expressed himself to be as the personification of science, I believe, in one of those conversations, whereas in actual fact, science is something that stands regardless of humans.
Well, since then, Marjorie Taylor Greene's done a 360. She no longer supports Donald Trump, so things have...
But the two are not synonymous or exclusive.
Yeah.
As you know, people felt that Donald Trump's performance during the COVID crisis was weak, and that was a big political wound for him. But, in fact, the whole issue of he should, as president, be trying to galvanize the country in terms of coming up with something like a vaccine, which he did. And he, so, I don't know.
These are...
These were testy days.
Let's move on, because over 100 judges at the moment are asking whether Marco Rubio is fit to be in office. Is he still personal lawyer to Donald Trump, or is he working for the American people through the DOJ? The judges are fighting back, over 100 of them, Gary.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it does look, as you look at it, a little bit like that game show that Donald Trump had, where he was firing people all the time, and replacing that with the current governance. But there are always political targets, especially people of power. Marco Rubio has been given more as the Secretary of State. You know, it's hard to say who's qualified and who isn't for these jobs, but I think he's been doing a fairly reasonable job. But you'll get that when the fractures of Democrat and Republican collision occur without a strong presidency, and that presidency has been weakened by the Iran war.
Yep.
So that's why I think a lot of this is coming through. Trump was super powerful, and now with that debate about what the future of that war is going to be, and I think, by the way, that should it be allowed into peace, that would be very likely that the Iranian government would fall.
Yes.
It's very difficult to massacre people during times of peace, but easy if you have control during a time of war and threat to the country. So we haven't seen how that's going to play out. I know the current news is that there's more attacks and counterattacks, and even U.S. bases have been struck. That's the latest news that could have happened. But I really think that ultimately it's in all parties' interests to resolve it and quieten it down.
Yep. Another thing from last week, of course, the Lincoln pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Trump had an Olympic canoeist arrested, and among five others. There's a slit. I don't know what's true. Your take on it is...
My take on it is a storm in a teacup when we have real storms to worry about.
For example,
over in Europe, if you look at what's happening, it's sweltering, unprecedented heat waves. We're talking 40, in the 40s, the degrees and going up.
Yeah.
And that is an extraordinary event for us all to take a breath.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of amused by a lot of commentary on it. Even people say, well, you know, in the future with global warming, this could be commonplace.
Yeah.
What about the question, what if it keeps going up? What if our planet is notorious for having balances and being on a fine edge of equilibrium. If we upset that balance, who's to say that those temperatures don't continue to increase, and how would we ever try and prevent that from happening? And we're certainly not preventing that from happening as we're standing by and cheering and watching Ukraine and Russia blow up each other's gas stations every day.
Back to the UK, of course, Keir Starmer's going, and this guy called Andy Burnham will probably be the new British Prime Minister. King Charles and Camilla will no longer live at Buckingham Palace. They're moving into somewhere else because I don't think it's not fit to live in Buckingham Palace these days, because it was built on a swamp. So I think the swamp's fall to back. So, it's all going. And in Scotland, the former chief executive of the SNP, the Scottish National Party, he's been jailed for 5 years for stealing over £400,000 in party funds and buying a motorhome. And, of course, this is the former husband of Nicola Sturgeon. So it's all happening.
I followed that one too. And absolutely, there is not a day that doesn't go by without an apparent scandal or something dramatic that's occurred. And now we have a new era in the UK. But, you know, we are still faced with all these overwhelmingly difficult challenges in the world. And those are far more important, I think, than the reflecting pool colour.
I wonder,
it's not as if Trump did it himself.
You mentioned about the Ukraine battlefield. You think Russia might be deploying potentially those weapons that have never yet been used on the battlefield? tactical nuclear shells and things like that being a last resort, should it come to be on its last legs?
Well, yes, this has always been the nature of that now four-year-long war that we in the West, and we controlling the future of this outcome, have not considered enough. On the one hand, if Russia would win that conflict, that would then raise the enormous escalation to the point of perhaps nuclear if there were to be a major victory that would threaten all of Europe. On the other hand, if Russia loses dramatically or is feared that they would lose, that also increases the trouble of nuclear and the possibility of using nuclear weapons, because he has a lot of an old guard, a lot of militants. He's a moderate compared to some of those who want to show Russia's nuclear weapons and feel that their red lines have been overrun. So either way, win or lose, that is one tick closer to the nuclear clock. The only sensible solution, as I've been saying for 4 years, is to negotiate an end to it, which just seems to be off the table.
And the latest in Stuart, how is he?
Stuart's doing very well and focusing on trying to make a success of his studies.
Yeah.
And he sends his very best wishes to both of you, and he misses his days when he had the show Global Warning, which was also alerting people into the dangers of a potentially warming, permanently warming planet that could be as warm as Venus if we're not careful.
Between that and the perils of politics, we are living a precarious existence.
Yes, but we are here, and isn't it comforting to know that we might be the only animals in the entire universe that are conscious. But I have one other thing too, by the way. Did you follow that one about J.D. Vance coming out in favor of Richard Nixon and feeling that he was brought down? Did you follow that story?
No, I didn't catch up with that one.
Oh, well, that's right. I don't want to add yet another interesting scandal to your repertoire today. But maybe next time. There is a movement to rekindle and to relook at Richard Nixon and appreciate him for all of the other things other than Watergate.
Yeah.
And I think that J.D. Vance got caught up in that. We'll deal with that next week. Yeah. I hope you have a great week.
You're about to be saluted by Southall School, and I was actually talking to a guy who's about to be part of the, on the bus this morning, be part of the new production of Annie, which is coming up at Southall School. So when are you being saluted at Southall School, Gary?
Well, it's going to be a real pleasure. It's on the 30th of August. It isn't for a while, but I'm so proud to be involved in the commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the building of that beautiful chapel by the boys and by that construction that went on 100 years ago. And I'm proud to be part of that. I'm doing a painting that is such a challenge. It includes all of the difficult things, its interior, all the lighting. I've got 180 degrees, portraits, everything is involved in this painting, and I'm doing it the best I can. So hopefully by the end of August, it will be a big dramatic unveiling, and we can all celebrate it together.
Anyway, let's get back to aliens, because we're about to play the theme from Mork and Mindy for you. Talk about aliens. We'll catch you up with you next week. Bye-bye.
Yes, a friendly alien would be good.
Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye. Talk about Mork and Mindy, and of course it came from Happy Days, and the one and only, the late Robin Williams. Here at Free FM.
Nano, nano. Shazbot. We'll be right back.
composition from John Williams, Steven Spielberg, and of course George Lucas, Star Wars, Jeff Love and his orchestra. And before that we had the late Robin Williams, Shazbot, Mork and Mindy. Even we all remember Mork and Mindy.
Of course I did.
Anyway, moving on.
Dwayne Porter has been watching the effects of the oil not being supplied in the usual rate or schedule. For many countries, they are tapping into their reserves. But New Zealand, it seems to be managing, Dwayne.
Yes, good afternoon, Mel. Yes, it is managing quite well. At the moment, we've got a petrol boat arrived in. She came in from Japan, and she's unloading fuel, and then she's going straight to Napier. And then on top of that, we've got the next four boats arriving in very soon. What it is at the moment is that the ports are scattering them everywhere between Rangiora and Lyttelton. Because what it is that it's the freight, and plus Donald Trump has opened up the border line between overseas, like he had it closed, and they made all these shipments, all the wharfie guys in the shipments, okay, whatever was going into Dubai was waiting there for 9 months. He had it closed for 9 months. And now we get a phone call that all the wreckers are loading cars and parts and everything to go over to Dubai. Last night, yesterday morning, started at 10:30 and had four containers loaded by 7 o'clock this morning of car parts. So Dubai is one of the big things, is buying all the write-off cars, wreck cars, you name it. So it's a market. And the way to do it is that they are buying more car parts.
It's amazing to think that they're redundant. Those parts would be wasted otherwise, but they can be renewing the supply of metals that are difficult to mine.
Yes, it is, Mel, and it's just amazing of how many wreckers are actually doing it, sending car parts to Dubai. It's an auction.
So if we've ever owned a car which we sold and it had reached that stage of life that it would be recycled, there may be parts with which we were once familiar which are now embodied in, who knows, it may not be remanufacturing anything that's like a car even. It could be in any use of metal, it seems.
Yes, and also we're even loading crushed cars as well. We're crushing cars and loading them in the container, and that's what you get. They're sending crushed cars over to Dubai.
Oh, we certainly, as consumers, we generate a lot of waste, don't we?
Well, we do actually, Mel, and even that, like a car, you know, like a whole car. We even sent two whole cars over to Dubai, and even a motorbike and a dip and a farm bike.
It's hard to believe that all this handling could be covered by the profits to be made.
Well, they are making profit. They are making profit. You look how many wreckers are making money sending parts over to Dubai. It's taking 9 months for the shipment that's sitting out in the ocean to reach Dubai. That's how long it is. That's how long that Donald Trump has kept the thing closed for.
A complex business.
Well, it is actually, and you know, like I'm quite pleased that, like yesterday morning, I was down there helping the guy load this container, and can tell you, like, even last night he had the buyer from Dubai on the phone, video, you know, and saying, "Well, I want this, I want this, I want this. This is the way I want it stacked."
Amazing.
And I can tell you, it's competition out there. There's so many wreckers throughout the North Island and South Island are sending cars to Dubai. That's how you make the money. And I can tell you, it's worth it. You know, one of these days, Mel, you might see your car going over there.
Duane Porter with a shipping report there. We look forward to hearing how things are progressing come next week. There could be some challenges still over this question of supply.
Well, there is going to be a challenge, but there's going to be more challenge because, you know, you've got to look at what's happened is that Donald Trump has closed that border line, and then say on Friday morning or Thursday, he decided to open it up and save all these boats. Yep. So there's about 48 ships sitting out there waiting to go into Dubai because Dubai are waiting for all the parts.
Thank you, Duane Porter, here at Free FM 89.0. And back in a moment, but first of all, here's another track from the late Keith Richardson.
Yeah, seven last week, up to six. How far can it go? The Avengers of 1941, the Avengers for HMV single play, and they're in Australia right at the moment. Let's hear from the boy, shall we?
Hello, listeners.
Yeah, the late Keith Richardson, one of those fast-talking DJs. Talking about nostalgia, this week I've been viewing an old television series starring 6'8", Fess Parker. He was a big unit, and Ed Ames of the Ames Brothers, and I've been watching the television series Daniel Boone, 1964 through 1970, 20th Century Fox.
Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man, with an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he. Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man. He was brave, he was fearless, and as tough as a mighty oak tree. From the coonskin cap on the top of old Dan to the heel of his rawhide shoe, the riffinest, roarinest, fightinest man the frontier ever knew. Daniel Boone was a man, yes, a big man, with an eye like an eagle and as tall as a mountain was he. Big man, what a boon, what a doer, what a dream come a doer was he.
Oh, Mel even remembers that series, Daniel Boone. Remember it, Mel?
Yes, I do.
It's a popular show. Actually, Fess Parker also played Davy Crockett, so he's played both American heroes. Hey, we're welcoming back a person we haven't heard on the airwaves for
That's
a long time.
The originator of the Chinese Homeland series. For years it was that Rebecca would religiously come into the studios and record all kinds of things we knew not what because of the language barrier.
Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Mouse and Bruce. I'm back today. Very, very excited.
Whenever you get a chance to see your homeland,
yeah,
it must
true.
Be in your mind that
it's
there
so
are
long. Yeah.
There are really great differences between.
It's nearly two decades I haven't been to China, and you know, the year before everybody suffered of the pandemic, so at that time you got no chance even think of to back to China. But I'm very lucky. I'm back. Just 2 weeks, no, 2 weeks before, and see the China, you know the land. I think most people think very strange, but for me, I'm like a foreigner. When I see it's not of change, I cannot recognize the place I once been. I got an apartment in Haikou. And at that time, when I sat down there, and the surroundings is farmland, and the view, you can see some view of the seaside, and the beaches, But now everything changed, and I cannot recognize the surroundings because the land is gone, the scenery of the sea view all changed and all replaced by the tall building, skyscrapers. You know, it's just, I think, you know, could be, you know, anything change could bring some, you know, some noise in some way, you know. You remember or you memorize some things familiar with you, but now you find it's suddenly all gone and to totally replace to the very, very unfamiliar scenery, you know. My heart seems quite, you know, thing. Yeah. You know, I think most of the people know that particular
We'll have to talk better next week on this because we've got to get Trevor around before we go at 2 o'clock. But do you ever think you'll come back to radio?
I think about, you know, and I'm really, you know, I'm very, how to say, that's my, very, you know, very excited to see my old colleagues, like Mel and Bruce.
Yeah.
And
it used to be an emotional time for you preparing the programs you did.
Yeah, we haven't... haven't got any preparation, just, you know, But this time, not only in Haikou, I've been in Shanghai, you know, the biggest city in in China, and Hong Kong. And all got a lot of stories. And
Well, we're going to talk to you more over the next few weeks, so... Trevor is next. Let's go back to the Daniel Boone theme because it's a good tune to sing along with. Here we go. Daniel Boone theme. I've been watching on YouTube the whole boxed series. I've been watching it from with Ed Ames as Mingo, the English-born Indian. No, he was educated in England. His mother was Indian and father was English. That's Ed Ames. It's 5 minutes to two. Good afternoon to you, sir. Trevor's talk.
Good afternoon. Well, if people have been watching the news lately, that what's happening in Europe, particularly in Paris and France and in Germany, the heat wave is killing people in the thousands. Now, what I was thinking when I see that on the news, why doesn't someone like Elon Musk, a trillionaire, put his money towards looking after this planet and combating global warming? And forget about Mars, forget about the moon. They're dead planets. I don't know if the moon's not a planet, of course, but Mars is. It's only a big rock in space. And beautiful planet Earth should be cherished.
Yeah.
Put his money towards finding a solution so the world can last a little longer.
I don't know whether it's all to blame on global warming, but Britain is going into its summer months now. So, and of course, winter's just along the way. And Parliament takes a recess, and they'll come back with a new Prime Minister, etc., etc. And the old king, he's moved out of Buckingham Palace. It's built on a swamp, so he doesn't want to live there anymore. So, it's all go, Trevor. How's your week been?
Oh, not too bad. Just to touch back on my subject. Some scientists believe that the world could possibly be uninhabitable by the next century.
Yeah.
That's a bit scarier, because I won't be around by then.
I think you'll live forever.
You'll be interested to know that there are complex attempts to free whales, which are in the northern hemisphere. Apparently, falling foul of fishing net. And so the pod of whales are pulling together and trying to keep them afloat is the effort, and hopefully to disentangle the net.
Is this a trawling fish?
It's happening now.
Yeah, it's happening in New Zealand
as
well.
It'll be big news, I would think.
Happening in New Zealand, and dolphins and seals are also victims of trawler fishing.
Yep. Anyway, that is us for today and for the week. Back next week. Before we heard the song Happy Days, there's another song that introduced Happy Days. Here's a pub quiz for you. What was the song that introduced Happy Days back in the mid-70s with Ronnie Howard and Henry Winkler as the Fonz? Can you guess what the song was? But I think you'll know it. Here we go. This is the original theme to Happy Days. And that's not it. I've got the wrong CD in. And we'll just reach for it before we do disappear out of here. And it's going to come up in a couple of seconds. No, it wasn't the Archers. There was a song that originally introduced us with a jukebox to Happy Days. Now, here we go. This is it.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes two, three, and four.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.